You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back. The dynamic duo returns for another day of Timberwolves content, because that's what Locked On Wolves is. Daily Timberwolves content. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, talking hoops. And today, with the trade deadline just around the corner, we promised an Andrew Wiggins conversation. Trey, today is that day.
I am excited to talk about some Andrew Wiggins and some potential ups and downs for Wiggs. I don't know how to feel about Andrew Wiggins moving forward, and Colin, I think we kind of differ maybe on the future of Wiggins with this team.
We might a little, and that's where the murky waters really start, is what are proper expectations for Wiggins moving forward, which is, I think, where we'll start. Where do you grade him out just as far as value if you are putting him in trade packages? And finally, is it worth trading him at all? And if you are looking at this team as far as assets at the trade deadline, is he one of those pieces that is even worth moving? We'll get to that lastly. But first, let's talk about really how you're looking at what Wiggins brings to the table. What have you seen this year? Because it really has been another offensive year for Wiggins. It felt like last year he was trying to move more towards the defensive side of his skill set, trying to hone those pieces. Maybe that was a little bit of who was around him with Tibbs and Jimmy Butler on the team. But as of right now, amongst small forwards, he's 10th in the league in scoring. So, I mean, he does put up points, but it feels like even that is kind of sporadic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one thing I really like about Wiggins this year, that even though he's had a real off year again, like, I totally agree with that, is his three-point shooting. Like, it's definitely improved. He's shooting 34% from the three this year, which doesn't sound great, I'm sure, to a lot of listeners, and definitely has been up and down. But he looks like he's, you know, he's hitting it more at a consistent rate, especially that first half of the year thus far. And he's also shooting more. He's shooting almost 5 threes a game. As opposed to like only 3 2 years ago, when he was scoring 24 points per game. So that's definitely something, that's definitely a sign of good production there. As long as he keeps shooting those at a high rate, he should be solid. And also his free throw percentage this year is back to around 74%. And last year it was at 64%. It was a total dip from the years prior, around 76 each year. So those are some good things to look forward to in the near future for him, is to hopefully see a rise in free throw percentage and a rise in 3-point percentage. But what really separates an all-star player from a really solid role player is consistency. Like, it has to be consistency. And he's just been the most inconsistent scorer. And, you know, even him being a top 10 wing scorer, doesn't do much for me with him moving forward. It's too inconsistent for me, Colton. I don't really know what else we can say about Andrew Wiggins besides him and his inconsistencies being what plagues him for the future.
Well, you mentioned that inconsistency. I feel like a lot of the scoring is kind of masked by these runs that he goes on, where for three games he'll be a monster and then he'll kind of go away for a week. And you look at, he is a top 10 scorer amongst small forwards, but amongst that category, he's also outside the top 20 in his shooting from the field, his field goal percentage, and from three-point range, he's outside the top 30 in three-point percentage. So while he is getting buckets, it's not, you kind of see that inconsistency more in his percentages, in his shooting percentages, because he can put up 40 in a game. We've seen that. He has had those nights where he's gone like a 20 point game, 40 point game, but then he'll come back and he'll put up an egg, or he'll put up 5 points or 7 points. And so, like you're saying, that inconsistency has really marred even maybe the best quality he has, which is just his pure scoring ability. The other thing too is, I feel like there's not really an area of the game right now that Wiggins really owns. Like, obviously he can do a few things pretty well, and you talked about how his three-point shooting has gotten better, but when he started out his career, you knew that him getting to the rim, him getting to the basket and streaking towards the hoop, he was really good in those areas, and he would go to those areas often as part of his game, and that's what made him really successful offensively. Now it feels like he doesn't really know where his money spots are on the floor. Some games you'll see him shoot a lot of threes. Some games you'll see him really try to nail down that 18, 15-foot range. Some games you'll see him really try and streak to the basket. But there's not a consistent move. It feels like Wiggins doesn't really know what his like two offensive tricks are that he can score on every time to go to. It just, he almost feels like a little bit like a man without a country on offense a little bit when he's scoring. Even when he's doing well like this year.
A man without a country on offense. I think that was the perfect way of explaining Andrew Wiggins currently. It's really difficult because I feel like his one move, ironically, is just athleticism, which isn't really a move. It's just a quality of Andrew Wiggins, like a part of him. He's just a freak athlete. And that's been that way since high school. And I think that even as a number one pick, everyone just kind of saw past that because they thought he'd find his moves. And he really hasn't found it, you know? Like, even his, like, game-winning threes he's had in the past or, like, late-game threes, they've been, like, crazy 30-foot backboard three-point shots that aren't really supposed to go in but just do because he's a high-volume shooter. And high-volume shooters don't necessarily correlate very well to the future of the NBA. They're looking for more efficient shots. And Andrew Wiggins isn't really taking efficient shots a lot of times. They're contested shots. And when comparing him to other shooters around where he is, where he ranks around other small forwards, his name is next to guys like Harrison Barnes, TJ Warren, Brandon Ingram, Rudy Gay. And I hope not, but I hope that's not the ceiling for Andrew Wiggins. I hope Rudy Gay isn't the ceiling for Andrew Wiggins. You know, I hope it's more than that. It's tough. You know, I'm looking at the top 10 forwards right now. Only two spots behind Andrew Wiggins in scoring is our own Robert Covington. Is there a case that Robert Covington is just as good as Andrew Wiggins right now? Is that actually like a conversation?
I mean, there's a real case because if you switch tracks and look over at the defensive end, there's a real case that the full package that Robert Covington is bringing to the team as far as offense and defense, both sides of the floor, might actually be better than what Wiggins is bringing. Because if you look at some of his defensive stats, if you look at the defensive field goal percentages overall against Wiggins, 46.8%. That's not great. Three-pointers, 39.8%. Two-pointers, he's allowing 51.2% shooting when he is playing defense against players. And so these, and there's a lot of stats too. I mean, if you're looking at less than 6 feet, less than 10 feet, it's not like he's guarding centers. These are guys who are getting past the rim to him. And those in those categories, they're averaging 64% and 60% respectively on a defensive field goal percentage allowed. And so he's not only letting guys knock down shots. It seems like he's letting. If you watch him and you look at the stats, he's letting guys drive past him as well. And so his defensive stats have really taken a dip. But even if you're going past the box score and digging a little more into the advanced stats, then you're really starting to see his defense has really tailed off this year. And yes, he'll get some blocks. Yes, he'll get some steals, which help the Timberwolves. And when they're a bad defensive team, typically, those are kind of usually the difference makers for them. But if you're just looking at pure, when he's on a guy, his defense has tailed off this year. And so I think that if you're comparing him to a guy like Robert Covington, a guy who I think the Timberwolves really trust on defense, I think that there's a case to be made that Robert Covington might actually be better all around for this team.
I agree. I was kind of hoping you lead that way. And my bigger point by that is it just the contract that Andrew Wiggins makes us feel that way? Because like, let's say if Andrew Wiggins and Robert Covington were each making $10 million this year, which is essentially what Covington is making, I would side with Wiggins just because of the potential of Andrew Wiggins being better. Like, I'd rather have Andrew Wiggins in the playoffs than Robert Covington if they're making the same amount of money, even though Covington is a top three defender in this league, just because of the potential that Andrew Wiggins has and what, man, like in the OKC game where he scores 40. And that's the scariest part about this situation is that Minnesota was inclined and forced to essentially sign Andrew Wiggins to all that money. And he's going to be paying, you know, he's going to get paid $34 million in 2021 and 22, which is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, and even outside of the money, I think that, I mean, I think that's a big part that plays into it. But I also think, too, that defense for these, especially the small forwards, but all the forwards really on this team is an emphasis too, because you're not really getting any defensive help from the backcourt, right? I mean, you know that Teague and Derrick Rose, they're both going to give you a lot of things because of what they are able to do offensively. And so that's why their minutes are justified, is because they're playing so well offensively. I mean, even when Teague isn't hitting shots, he's still one of the top assist leaders in the NBA right now. And so they're justifying their minutes with what they do offensively, but defensively, they're not going to help you out either. And so that's why you really need guys like Covington, like Williams, to step up on the defensive end, because they have to compensate for the backcourt too.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's actually another positive that Andrew Wiggins definitely has done better on this year, even though his percentages are pretty bad. It's pretty obvious that he's trying more on defense. I think he's used so much energy on the offensive end over the past few years. He's had different coaches, which is another important note to make, is that he's had different coaches that might be what's been holding him back. Maybe now a consistent coach, maybe Ryan Saunders is there for a while and he does better. But he's been doing better on defense, I think, in the sense where it's off the stat sheet. He looks more aware. And also he's starting to finally use his length, which I think is something we've noticed from him over the past few years. He doesn't know how big he is sometimes, I feel like. Like when he's going against forwards and guards, he's a lot bigger than them sometimes and a lot longer than them with his 6'8", 230 frame. Like, he's a pretty big dude. So I think if he starts doing that more and starts getting more, antsy on defense, I think he can disrupt the ball, the movement more. He'll get some easier baskets in transition where he can become more efficient on offense. But I guess it's just him improving as a player. And, ultimately, I might have a low prediction of where he's going to end up at the end of his career, but we'll save that for later in the pod.
We got a question for you before we move on here to some sponsors in the next topic. It's kind of a two-pronged question. So first, did Tibbs break Wiggins, and is the next coach going to decide the rest of Wiggins' career?
Oof. Yeah, I agree. I think he did break Wiggins, and I think that the next coach will decide what happens to Wiggins' career. I agree with both of those. I mean, I say yes to both those questions, because it's pretty apparent right before Tibbs came along in 2016-2017, like, the 24 points a game that Wiggins was scoring, even though he was shooting 19 shots a game at not necessarily an efficient level, but still an effective level, he was doing fantastic, you know, as a 21-year-old. Yeah. He deserved that contract. You know, like, I had no problem with him getting that contract, even though it was huge just because of that big year he had. He showed promise of being a high scorer. And it's kind of like what Devin Booker is doing right now in Phoenix. Like, even though everyone knows his points are a little inflated because he's on a bad team, people are still fine with that. Like, it's Devin Booker. Like, he's going to be good. But if Devin Booker scores 17 points a game over the next 2 years, with a $150 million contract, like essentially what Andrew Wiggins is doing right now, people in Phoenix are going to be really angry, and they're going to be really angry at that front office. And they're probably going to have a lot of different head coaches, and then Devin Booker's career will probably go, you know, down the toilet to what it was supposed to go to. And that might be what we're looking at with Andrew Wiggins right now. And for, you know, what the future holds, it really depends on what Minnesota depends on what to do with their head coach. You know, Andrew Wiggins is going to play the end of his contract out as a 27-year-old. And that'll be in his prime. And depending on what coach they have, is probably going to, you know, show us what Andrew Wiggins is going to be in the future. So
he should be in the meetings with Glenn Taylor, basically, talking with the coaches, because they're going to have a huge effect on whether we look back in 10 years on Wiggins and say, wow, what could have been? He kind of washed out of the NBA, or wow, what a turnaround after Tibbs was out.
I mean, if you're Glenn Taylor, you have like $300 million and currently talented Andrew Wiggins, like, those two guys should be at every meeting you have the rest of your, like, term there.
Yeah, I think that they should be trying to help mold. I think they should take an interest in trying to help mold where this franchise is going. I never want to have the decision just rely on one aspect of your team, right? I think that it should be a collaborative. And so a decision as big as that, I think you want input from your franchise guys.
Yeah, and getting rid of Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau, those are the first two steps in the right direction, actually. So maybe Glenn Taylor's onto something, man. Maybe we don't know it, but maybe he's onto getting Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns back to better days next year.
All right, we're going to take a break for some sponsors. Then we're going to talk about Wiggins' value. First, some sponsors. So I've been of the mind the last few weeks that trading Teague and Wiggins is probably the bad move right now. I know there's been some pushback from other people on this show about some of that, but I feel like when we're talking about Wiggins and we're looking at the trade deadline and there's so many people who want the Timberwolves to make a move, I just don't think that it's a great idea to trade Wiggins. I think that when teams look at what he does defensively and how he kind of goes away for games, he'll just be gone for a three-game, four-game stretch. I think that you'd be selling awfully low on Wiggins, and I think that you've made the investment now, and it's a really stereotypical bad NBA team move to make a bigger mistake after the first mistake. So I think the first mistake was maybe giving him a ton of money a little too soon, signing him to the max contract instead of trying to talk him down a little bit after, well, he was still right before his career year, or his contract year, excuse me. And so to get out of that mistake, you see a lot of bad teams who will trade, either pay too much to get a guy out of there, or not get enough back for a max contract guy like Wiggins. And so you end up making two bad decisions instead of just one to try and get out of it. And I think that could be a potential danger for the Timberwolves here moving forward on Wiggins. I think you keep him, because here's the other thing too, is how do you even estimate where his value is at right now?
Yeah, it's tough, right? You have to kind of look at the market, and there aren't a lot of guys who are making a lot of money that are getting traded. The obvious one I would jump to would be kind of comparing him to Victor Oladipo last year, you know, or I guess two seasons ago, but like getting traded to, getting traded to Indiana from Oklahoma City after not having a good year there. Nobody thought Victor Oladipo was going to be a star, right? Everyone, when he got traded to Indiana, was like, okay, yeah, that's like a falling star. That's a guy making too much money that didn't fit with Russell Westbrook, who's one of the best players in the NBA and MVP. And then he didn't fit in Orlando, a team who had nothing, and he couldn't even have good production there. And I'm kind of hoping that the Timberwolves could use Andrew Wiggins in a very similar fashion, where they're like, okay, here's a fallen star. He can be a star. Maybe he just needs a new place to go to. And I'm only hoping in the sense where if they wanted to trade him, my hope would be, you know, in that they could get a solid package back for that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was Indiana traded Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo and had to send Paul George elsewhere. And everyone thought that Oklahoma City won that deal, getting Paul George. But maybe Indiana won that deal. You know, they look fantastic right now. I think they're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. So Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo looking fantastic there. And that might be the trade market. It might just be trading Andrew Wiggins for a solid young role player or a solid young all-star that's on a rental. And hopefully Minnesota can go from there. But I mean, I don't know. Like I have had a couple trade ideas in mind. Like you know me, Colin, I've written several trade pieces on Andrew Wiggins specifically. So I have a couple in mind, but it's tough to gauge the market besides the Oladipo deal, because we're not talking about a Blake Griffin here. We're not talking about a Chris Paul. We're not even talking about DeMarcus Cousins. So we're talking about Andrew Wiggins, and there haven't been a lot of 23-year-olds who are borderline all-stars traded. So,
yeah, I think that you can't get a team to pay for what you think the ceiling will be for Wiggins, really, when you have a contract like that attached to him. And so I really think that you'd end up getting kind of shellacked on the trade end of things. And the other thing is, too, is that the Timberwolves, let's remember, not the best in trades. Not the best in trades. I know that the Philadelphia deal worked out, but there was still in July, you could have gotten twice that for Jimmy Butler. And so not only do I not trust a team to pay enough for Andrew Wiggins or not see the upside that's there and be willing to pay for it down the road and kind of compensate for Minnesota for selling on that upside, but I also don't trust the Timberwolves to find the right trading partner that's going to give them that great value that you want in a trade or you want for both ends of a trade. And so I think that they end up getting a couple of role players and maybe a late second round pick when you should be able to get some real contributors and maybe even a late first round pick for a guy like Wiggins, you'd hope. And I really think that just sticking it out with Wiggins is the best move, because there is that, like we were just alluding to in the first segment, there is that chance as well. There is that route where a new coach comes in and he really helps Wiggins put things together, and all of a sudden Wiggins is in two All-Star games.
Well, can I attempt to bring you to the dark side and give you some ideas, Colton?
I would love it.
All right, so I'm going to start off with the other dramatic franchise in the NBA right now, in the other conference, the Eastern Conference, the Washington Wizards. So what do you think about a solid just swap between Otto Porter and Andrew Wiggins, giving Washington, D.C. a new look and a fresh 22, 23-year-old Andrew Wiggins, an athletic high-flying wing that can pretty much do everything on the offensive end that you need him to do, not on a consistent level, how we talked about, but possibly down the road. And then the Timberwolves get a solid defensive wing that can play the stretch four, it can shoot down knockdown threes when needed, and can play very nicely next to a Karl Anthony Towns. What are your thoughts on that one?
I don't think I want Otto Porter in Minnesota complaining about his shots. Oof. We just got rid of that guy.
Yeah.
You'd be bringing in a less talented vocal shooter. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. The hard part is I don't really know what's going on in that D.C. locker room. Like, I don't know who is asking for more shots. I'm assuming that we have heard it's Otto Porter, but I could just see that John Wall fabricating everything too.
Well, that's the problem is that it could just be John, and John Wall is definitely part of the problem, but I was reading a story, what was it, last month on The Athletic, actually, about this and how it wasn't just John Wall. It was Morris and it was Beal talking about this, and it was their head coach. There's a big problem with, and I don't believe it's just Otto Porter either. I think there was a few guys who were complaining about their shots. And so I think as of right now, the only guy I would take off of Washington is Bradley Beal.
Ooh,
and they're not going to trade him.
I would love Bradley Beal. I mean, I think it would take more. You'd probably have to move Wiggins and Teague and probably a couple firsts and then get Bradley Beal somehow and maybe Sadoransky. But, like, that would be fantastic. I mean, obviously that's what Minnesota needs is a true shooting guard. It's just really hard to find a true shooting guard in the league right now that is easy to get.
You would have to find a third team, I think, that would take John Wall so then they could kind of totally reset.
Yeah, I mean, the three-team trade idea makes a lot of sense. I mean, I've put a lot of thought into this again. Like, I mean, I've definitely thought about how you could get Bradley Beal on this team. It's just, it would take a lot. I mean, you probably have to add in a team like Sacramento, which actually, the Kings, that's another team that needs a wing right now. Like, they've been very adamant about getting a wing, and they've actually liked Andrew Wiggins. They were, like, interested in actually signing him when he was getting his contract a year ago, his extension, when he became, due for an extension. They kind of were interested in signing him because they've been wanting a wing for a while now. Would you do a trade with Sacramento? Maybe like a Bogdanović or a Buddy Hield, probably?
I would love to get Buddy Hield on this team because not only has he exploded this year and he has just tremendous work ethic, but I think that just his character and the way he plays and the way he attacks the game and just how he just loves to grind, I think he would really fit well with guys like Roko and Saric and Derrick Rose. I think he'd really fit in well with those guys.
Yeah, he's definitely like a hound dog on offense, man. Like, he goes hard. Like, I've watched a lot of Kings games this year, which is something I never thought I'd say. But that whole team is so exciting to watch. Like, I guess the thing would be, like, I don't know if they necessarily want to break those guys up. But, like, I mean, he's a lot of fun, especially, and he's been like in a lot of weird news too. I think he actually just came out. He's 26 years old, and they thought he was 25 years old, which is really weird. I don't know if you saw that.
That is so something that would happen to the Kings. That is so. You know what? I have a story. So I have this really, really good buddy from high school who is just crazy. He's just insane. He's super fun. He's a great guy, but he's also just crazy. It's one of those things, you know? We all have that friend.
Oh, yeah.
And he and his family got a dog that they named Boaz. And they love this boy dog that they had, and they had him for 6 months. And then someone, I think it was their aunt who came over, didn't even live in the house, came over and asked them what their girl dog's name was. And they said, no, it's a boy. And she said, no, he doesn't have a penis and you didn't get it neutered. This is a girl dog. That is basically what I think the Kings organization is. Just a bunch of people running around, not exactly knowing what's going on. And then other people coming in and telling them, you know, he's 26, right? You know that you posted pictures with your draft board up, right? On Twitter. You know that you shouldn't be doing this stuff. I think that's what I think the Kings are.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. I think that, like, that, I mean, that's perfect. I mean, it's such a quintessential franchise who, like, keeps around a center like DeMarcus Cousins who, like, nonstop bashes your organization for so long. Like, I don't know. I mean, the best thing they did was get rid of that guy. That's an hilarious story. It fits so well with the Sacramento Kings. I feel bad for them. Any Kings listeners out there, like, you should be happy right now. De'Aaron Fox is a beast. But like, that is hilarious though. All right, I got one last one for you, Colton. One last one.
Okay? All right.
Let's see. So Memphis Grizzlies. Okay, Memphis, a team that wants to get rid of a guy named Chandler Parsons. Okay, so a little Chandler Parsons, it's Andrew Wiggins swap here, and we get a player that doesn't really have the upside of Andrew Wiggins, but maybe can start, helping a new culture in Minnesota, breeding this like San Antonio Spurs-esque culture, and get Kyle Anderson, maybe a first-round pick. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that one. I'm a little worried about just Chandler Parsons staying healthy, but I like the pieces that you're getting back, and I think if you can get that pick in there too, I think that would be really solid and some nice role players. And then if you're the Grizzlies too, Wiggins is a young guy you'd have around for a while. He's a young piece that you can put right alongside Jaren Jackson, who now you've gone from this old Grizzlies that you had a few years ago to now you've made that shift without really giving up a ton of wins. And I know they haven't been great as of late, but they've also had a really terrible injury luck over the last couple of years. And now you've been able to shift a little bit, so now you have a younger core, but you still have guys like a Mike Conley on this team that can kind of lead you to try and find a maybe hang around that eighth seed spot in the West.
Yeah, I got to say, like, oddly enough, I'm not a huge fan of Kyle Anderson because he doesn't have that attractive appeal of being a superstar on offense or defense. But he's an all-around wing, only making, like, $9 to $11 million over the next few years, kind of like a Justice Winslow type. And then Chandler Parsons is just, on a one-year rental, essentially, for, like, $25 million. He's so injury-prone, it's crazy. But just, like, that swap right there makes a lot of sense for Memphis and Minnesota moving forward if the Timberwolves don't believe in Andrew Wiggins. That's all I got, Colton. I don't know if I turned you at all to the dark side. You're probably still on your light side, but I think I moved you a little bit.
You definitely convinced me that there is options out there. I'd have to think about it. I'm still leaning towards my side, but you made some great points, as always, Trey. We're going to get to the last leg of our segment here, our show, but first, some sponsors. All right, so finally, before we head out here, we've been talking about potential trades, options for the Timberwolves. Trey bringing up some great partners, some great suitors for the Timberwolves. But is there anything out there? Obviously, it goes month by month, right, before the trade deadline. I mean, this month it's all about DSJ and where he could go. Last month it felt like everybody was talking about the Wizards and what pieces they can give up, where John Wall should end up. And so my question for you is, do you think there's any actual buzz around the Timberwolves? Do you think there's an actual team out of the hypothetical that they could actually get into a conversation? Or did they bungle the Jimmy Butler thing so much for so many months that teams don't really want to deal with the Timberwolves anymore?
Oddly enough, it might just be the firing of Tom Thibodeau mid-season, done kind of like not unprofessionally, but just weirdly enough to make people and other franchises and other front offices to kind of sway away from Minnesota. Which is the weirdest thing in the world because you would think it's the Jimmy Butler drama. But, like, from what I'm hearing, like, I'm hearing nothing. I'm hearing crickets. Like, I'm hearing that there's no trade, craziness happening in any front office considering the Minnesota Timberwolves is a potential, team to move pieces with. Which is kind of worrisome as a fan because, we want to see Minnesota succeed. We want to see them go to the playoffs 2 years in a row. And I'm not sure, Colton, that this roster has what it takes to go to the playoffs 2 years in a row, even with a healthy roster this year. So it is kind of worrisome moving forward. I think that a guy like Jeff Teague doesn't necessarily have high trade value right now, but is Jeff Teague's trade value going to get much higher next season, a year older? I'm not sure, especially with his talents that he has as a facilitating guard that teams need less and less of. They need more combo guards, and he's just not that. And when it comes to guys like Andrew Wiggins, like, is he going to have a higher upside in the next few years, or is it right now as a 23-year-old? Like, so it's really difficult to gauge the trade market right now, but I almost think Minnesota should be trying a little bit harder, and it's kind of difficult without president of basketball operations because they're kind of without one. I guess it's just Scott Layden and Glenn Taylor there making the decisions. But I don't know if they're going to, pry another solid asset from another team off anybody's hands because they're a little wary of making a deal with Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is not only do teams just seem to be staying a little bit away from it, but it also feels like the Timberwolves are just trying to figure out what's going on internally and what the next move is internally, and maybe they have too much on their plate to even try and do some things at the trade deadline right now is the other problem, too, because they're still trying to figure out stuff like president of operations. They're trying to really gauge in a short sample size if Saunders, what the move is with him. Because it sounds like it really is going to be testing him out to see if they want to make him the next coach or not. And so, yeah, there might be too much going on internally for the Timberwolves to have them even look outward for a trade suitor.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it's going to be up to Ryan Saunders to try to figure this out. And it's really difficult because, like, hiring a new young coach is one thing, but hiring a 32-year-old who, like Darren Wolfson said, was the second assistant, not even the first, that's a big duty for him to make. And it's kind of just a lot of pressure. Like, if Ryan Saunders, you know, wants to go one way and try to force, you know, Scott Layden to make a deal, or try to help Scott Layden make a deal, or Glenn Taylor, and it makes the wrong deal, is his job in jeopardy, you know, moving forward? It probably is. So, like, he doesn't want to make the wrong move. So maybe ultimately it's just you're maybe right with this, Colin. Maybe a move shouldn't be made, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to pull the trigger too soon on anything for sure, because then it really gets messy, and then you really have some big problems. And I think it might be better to just sit pat and see what happens this offseason. Without a doubt, this is going to be one of the busier off seasons that the Timberwolves have had in recent memory, because there's a lot of things they have to figure out, and they have to get the front office in order. And, oh, by the way, they need to figure out who's going to be the head coach next season. So it's going to be a busy off season. And I think if they're going to make any deals players wise, it's going to happen in the off season. That's it for me, Trey. You got anything else you want to fly past me?
No, I just hope I moved you a little bit, you know, closer to the dark side, even though we shouldn't make a trade right now, probably. I just hope that maybe you can come around to this get Andrew Wiggins out of here conversation, at least, Cole, and hopefully you're a little bit more my side. But that's it. Timberwolves fans, just keep your heads up and be sure to listen to us tomorrow. Talk about some Wolves action tomorrow night.
Hey, you got a couple more weeks to do it, so don't give up hope yet. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.